Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Time for our weekly conversation with one of our favorite guests. She is Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. Make sure you read her every day. She also covers the Browns like nobody on the beat. She is Mary Kay Cabot. She's on The Fan Hotline. Hello, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
We are good. Plenty to talk about this week. Can we start with why you would take your starting quarterback off the field for a two-point conversion when you have a chance to tie the game at the end of the game? Because it's still bothering me. Can you help me with that, please?
Well, I think it probably had something to do with the fact that when they tried it on the previous two-point conversion, the snap was fumbled, and they went with something that had been working for them over the previous few weeks. We've seen Quinshon Judkins score a lot of touchdowns using the direct snap, the wildcat formation. So I think they felt that when the first thing didn't work, they were going to go to something that was tried and true and try to run a play that probably had worked, that we know had worked in practice. So when those things work out, they look like brilliant moves. And when they don't, they are the dumbest thing that anybody could ever possibly try.
No, that's fair. I respect the second part.
Well said, Mary Kay.
Let me ask you this, Mary Kay. You've been around this game for a long time, and I think you have done a wonderful job of explaining their position. What did you think of the play?
Once again, I don't know what the heck happened on the play. I don't know what Quinshon did or he was supposed to do. It was very confusing. I mean, it looked like perhaps he was supposed to pitch it to Gage Larvidan, but Gage Larvidan acted to us like he didn't know that that was supposed to happen, or maybe he was just covering up for Quinshon. So we really don't know what was supposed to go down. But I just will say that if Quinshon did what he was supposed to do, or they executed that properly and it worked, then I can promise you we would not be ripping the heck out of this decision.
Mary Kay, it's the topic that won't go away, so I'll ask you what Andy and I were talking about. Has Shador shown enough, and can he show enough in the final four games to make this organization think we don't have to take a quarterback unless we love one because we have Shador and Deshaun's under contract and Dylan or Bailey Zappe or somebody else in that quarterback group for next year? And you can give Shador another year to figure it out and see if that's your guy?
He absolutely 100% can show the Browns over the next four games that they can jump out of the Fernando Mendoza, Ty Simpson, Dante Moore sweepstakes. I've been writing that actually probably for a couple of weeks now, but certainly after, you know, before leading into this game and after this game, that this is his chance. This is his opportunity to prove to them that they don't need to draft one of those guys in the first round, that they can spend those two first round picks bolstering the supporting cast, perhaps getting a receiver, maybe a tackle. So absolutely, that is the perfect situation. The ideal scenario for them is for him to show that and to prove that, because in addition to everything else, that would give them a bargain basement quarterback after they basically kind of wasted $230 million in the whole Deshaun Watson debacle. So that is something that the organization is hoping against hope can absolutely happen for them. But I still think that it will be very, very difficult to get a definitive answer in seven starts. Because if you look around the league, even over the last few years, sometimes when you think you have your guy in the first seven starts, it doesn't always work out that way. Or you have your guy for a year or two, and then he suffers an enormous setback, and then you're not really sure again. So I still think that what I would do if I were running the show, I would still be drafting a quarterback high. Unless he absolutely shows you definitively that he is 100% your guy, then I would still be really in the hunt for one of those top quarterbacks in the first round of the draft. And if you end up with more quarterbacks than you need, then that's a great problem to have.
It is. What if they like somebody in the draft and aren't crazy about them? Would you pass on that guy, or would you just take the best on your board regardless of your level of interest in him? You know what I mean by that?
Well, I think you have to be pretty crazy about him. I think you have to be pretty certain. If you're going to spend that first round pick, I think you have to be pretty certain and pretty enamored with that guy, because the whole organization has to get behind your rookie quarterback. It has to be an all-in effort, and it takes a lot. It takes an enormous supporting cast. It takes complete buy-in from everyone in the organization. And I'm sensing that the Browns and the players and the coaches are starting to really look at Shedeur Sanders and think, geez, maybe we really are onto something here. Maybe we have something special. The thing about Shedeur Sanders, when you watch him play the game of football, he is a gamer. And it reminds me a lot of when Baker Mayfield was here in the good days, when he was busting open beer coolers and lighting up fans and exciting everyone when things were going good, before things kind of went south a little bit. You know, it reminds me of that. He's got the same kind of grit, the same kind of toughness, the same kind of moxie, the same kind of confidence and star power. And if they can harness this and turn this into something, then it could be dynamite for this organization.
All right. If they believe in him, what if the they isn't the they at the end of the season? What if we're looking at a new general manager, a new head coach? What's your feeling on changes when this thing's over? I don't know how many NFL teams survive 3-4-win seasons year after year. I just coaches don't survive. General managers don't survive that. What's your, I don't know, level of confidence that Andrew's back next year and or Kevin?
Well, first of all, I do not see many organizations that are willing to start as many rookies as the Cleveland Browns have started this year. And when you do that, you know that you're going to have tough times. You're going to look out there and you're going to see rookie mistakes like we have seen over the past few weeks. When you look at a lot of these mistakes, they are happening on the part of the rookies, but that is the bed that they have made for themselves to play all of these young guys and to suffer these growing pains. So I don't know if they're going to make Kevin take the fall for fielding so many rookies this season, or if they're going to let him come back and grow with this football team, this young football team, as it grows up. And that's what it needs to do. In 2026, all of these guys are going to be a year older, a year wiser, and they're not going to be making as many mistakes as they're making right now. They will also have a beefed up offense. They'll have an overhauled offensive line. They'll have another receiver or two, and things will look better. Of course, they have to have the quarterback. None of it matters unless you have a winning quarterback, and that's what Shedeur Sanders has to establish in these last four games. Not going to be easy. He's got a really tough schedule coming up. His next three football games are against tough defenses and tough winning football games, teams that have a combined something like 26 victories. 9 victories for the first two, 7 victories for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tough, tough football teams. And some good quarterbacks that he's going to be going against, of course. He's got to go head-to-head with Caleb Williams. He's got to go head-to-head with Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, and Joe Burrow. I mean, that's not going to be easy over these last four games. So it'll be very interesting to see what he can do. And, of course, he's doing it with let me say, kind of one hand tied behind his back because he is still new with all of these guys that he's working with. So tall order for him, but, you know, that's what life in the NFL is all about for a quarterback. You've got to be able to handle extreme adversity, and now is his chance to try to do that.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us from the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Mary Kay, was the Browns' defensive effort against the Titans an aberration, or were they exposed?
Well, first of all, it had me thinking that Malik Collins had way more of an impact on this defense than we even realized.
Especially the run defense?
Yeah, we knew he was playing at a Pro Bowl level. We knew that. All you had to do was look out there and see that he was doing that. But to take him out of the middle of that defense, I think that everybody found out very, very quickly the impact that he made this season. And I think it was tremendous. So they're going to have to step up and get that figured out because teams will try to exploit that over these next four games. And then also, you've got to have all the buy-in. You've got to have guys out there on that field that are willing to sacrifice their bodies and do whatever it takes to continue to play as hard as they possibly can, even though they are eliminated from playoff contention. And it can get hard. Everybody's human. It can get hard to do that. But I think that this football team has the right character and the right makeup and the right leaders to continue to go out there and fight their tails off.
Mary Kay, it's hard not to watch this team and wonder what if special teams just did their job, didn't do anything other than just do their job, and how many wins this team might have at this point in the season. What is wrong with the special teams, and how can it get better?
Well, some of it is youth. Some of it is, you know, some of these mistakes, once again, have been made by some of the younger guys, a muffed punt by Gage Larvidan and things like that. But the special team should be playing better than it has this season. And it's very difficult to explain, and it just doesn't get any better week after week after week. And I just think that that's been one of the most challenging things about this whole entire season, is that the special teams really did cost them a number of games. I mean, we can point to two games in particular that were lost absolutely because of special teams. And sometimes those two victories mean the difference between remaining in contention right now and being completely eliminated from the playoffs. So that's been tough, and I'm sure that it will receive a ton of scrutiny in the offseason.
Hmm. Big picture, if you had to give your best educated guess, are there management changes on this team in the offseason? Management meaning front office and coaching?
Well, I'm sure that they will restructure, reorganize some things, look at some things in the wake of Paul DePodesta leaving. They've got some opportunities to do some different things here. But when I look at this rookie class, I think this was absolutely 100%, and I think we can all agree on this, the best draft that Andrew Berry has ever had.
Agreed.
And Jimmy Haslam said at the owners' meetings, he charged Andrew with hitting it out of the park with this draft, and he did that. And it's not even over yet, because he made that trade and picked up the extra first-round pick next year. And you should be able to get a really, really good player with that pick as well. So I don't look at this and see a reason to make a change in that regard. The one thing that I do think that they did maybe not handle as well this year as they could have or should have is the whole quarterback situation. Because if your quarterback picture had gone a little bit better this year, right now at this moment, they could be challenging for the AFC North crown. So from that standpoint, they did some things wrong that they probably should wish that they had back. But for the most part, this is the foundation, and I've said it many times, this is the foundation this year of Super Bowl window two. And next year, they will put the second layer on there. And really, next year is the finishing touches of Super Bowl window two for the most part, as long as they get the quarterback. So I don't see, this doesn't say to me GM change at all. This says, we see where you're going with this. And when these rookies grow up, this team can be dynamite.
Just so doubling down. If you're Andrew Berry, you're happy that you are that you bought the house and you're not renting, right? You bought it.
Yes.
Okay.
That's my feeling on it. Again, I do not know what Jimmy Haslam is thinking right now, but that would be my guess. I don't know how you can look at this rookie class and what you still have coming next year and think that, you know, that a change should be made in that regard.
Mary Kay, as always, thank you. We appreciate your time. Great stuff. And we will see you, or we'll talk to you again this time next week. Appreciate it.
Thank you, miss.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Take care, Mary Kay. Mary Kay Cabot, nice enough to join us on the Fan Hotline.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, you can get the latest from practice throughout the week right now on our YouTube channel. You get that with our buddy Daryl Ryder. He recaps each and every practice, each and every game. He features the best highlights from the coaches and the players during their media sessions. And he has all the on-the-field action. So you can subscribe to the 92.3 The Fan channel on YouTube right now. Get all of the latest from Daryl Ryder on the Browns throughout the football season. Or you can just listen here in the next 30 seconds because he's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, and he's sitting right here.
Oh, my God. It is just an honor and pleasure.
Wow.
To have the great Daryl Ryder sitting across from me right now.
Indeed.
Jeff, I feel like we've hit the jackpot.
It's a post-game Brownie Bites reunion right now.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry that I had to miss this week's Brownie Bites. I do apologize for that. But I heard your ratings were through the roof, so congratulations on that.
You missed a lot.
Well, there were plenty of things. As I walked away, I was like, man, I wish I didn't have to leave because I thought this would have been a fun Brownie Bites to do. I kind of want to go back and rehash some of the game before we get into what the future is here. What were your thoughts on the end of that game the other day? I'm just still floored by the fact you take the hottest quarterback you've had in a while off the field for the 2-point conversion.
Yeah, and they're stuck on this Quinshon Judkins direct snap in the short, I guess, goal-to-go situations. And look, they've had success with it. I understand that. But clearly the Tennessee Titans also watched some film. I realize they came in with just one win, but they watched some film. They seemed to sniff that one out pretty well.
Were they trying for the twist to Larvidan? Was it actually supposed to go to him, do you think?
I have no idea what the hell they were trying to do, honestly.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, how much trust do you really have in Larvidan after the way he's been struggling to receive punts?
Well, the only trust...
And I like Larvidan, too. It's hard for me to say this.
It's easy for me to say. I love the selective accountability that Kevin Stefanski seems to have these days. right? You've got Wyatt Teller apparently wasn't playing up to snuff, so they had to
bring in Tevin Jenkins.
They had to rotate him in and out, right? Meanwhile, Gage Larvitin can't catch a punt to save his life. He's got a better shot catching a cold, and they just keep running that dude out there.
Can I throw in one thought?
What?
Young guys? They looking at the young guys?
It blows my mind in some respects, but this is what they're choosing to do, and here's the other thing, there's this impression that I'm just like anti analytics. I'm not. I'm all about whatever gives you a competitive advantage. The problem that
points, don't you?
Yeah, I like points, and I also like. There is no competitive advantage for the Cleveland Browns. Like, I just think we need to accept that. They're the Browns. There is no competitive advantage. Stop trying to outsmart everybody. Okay? You don't have the personnel to be able to do what, like, the Philadelphia Eagles do. See, the Philadelphia Eagles have a really good football team, so they can afford to take risks on two-point conversions and things like that because that's what the spreadsheet tells them to do. You don't. Okay? So stop trying to do that stuff. The data is great.
Put points
Their
on the board.
Application of the data stinks, okay? Since they've gone to this model, which again, it's modern football. I'm not against it, but I'm against their application because their application does not help them win. They outsmart nobody, okay? They've had 8 losing seasons in the 10 years that they've gone to this data-driven model, okay? And 6 of those have been of the double-digit loss variety. So what advantage are these advanced analytics giving you? I would say none. It's not help. You're still losing at the same clip you lost at before you went to the model. You have to have the personnel to run it. Then you can apply the data, and you can get cute and creative with, okay, this says we should go for 2 here for the following reasons. Otherwise, kick the extra point, and then if you do score another touchdown, then make the decision, are we going for the tie, are we going to go for the win? Because if you fail right out of the gate, the decision's already made for you on the next touchdown, which is exactly what happened to them on Sunday, and I'm flatly against that.
Mary Kay Cabot was just with us. She said Andrew Berry's had his best draft, which I would agree with.
Yes.
And said that he should be feeling pretty good. That goes back to me for, okay, what have you done for me lately? Because the first 5 drafts didn't impress a whole lot of
he people. Found very little in right. The first 5 drafts. He found Grant Delpit.
But he also lost 3 first-round picks.
Yeah.
Whether that's his fault or not.
Right, but he's found guys in later rounds here, Andy, this year.
The next offensive lineman he drafts that's worth anything will be the first. The first receiver that he drafts that's worth anything will be the first.
If he's able to nail later round picks this year, what happened in the previous 5? But let me give you this. If it's what have you done for me lately, I would think Andrew's sitting pretty and Kevin is not.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
I would think so, and I don't know necessarily that the coaching staff and the front office are still on the same page. I mean, you got Bubba Ventrone taking shots in his press conference last week talking about the condition of the roster, which forces him to put Gage Larvitin out there on punt returns, even though, again, the kid can't catch punts. He struggles with it.
Which is generally a job requirement.
Right. So that's a hint of a problem there. And I don't think Bubba does that without sign-off from Kevin. Because Kevin's his boss. I mean, if you want to get into like nitty-gritty, right? Yeah. Kevin Stefanski's Bubba Ventrone's boss. So, and obviously Andrew Berry is, in some respects, Kevin Stefanski's boss, even though Kevin...
They both answer to the owner.
They both answer to ownership. But I can't imagine... And Kevin, after the Joe Flacco trade, came out and said, yeah, there was not a world in which I thought that Joe Flacco was being traded this year. And also keep in mind they traded the guy that Kevin thought he was going to start a quarterback in training camp, Kenny Pickett, because Kenny got hurt. And so they went and sent him to the Raiders for a 5th-round pick.
And even
because, you know, the Browns needed an extra 5th-round pick.
2 extra ones, Flacco. but there's this. Andrew is getting kudos for drafting young guys.
Yeah.
Kevin's been forced to play young guys, which is coaching suicide.
Yeah, well, they started, I think, if I remember correctly, on
more,
the 53.
More snaps of rookies, right?
Well, they started the season with 13 of the 53 were rookies between draft picks and undrafted free agents.
Isaiah Bond.
That's That's tough from a roster management standpoint. Yeah. Now, Kevin was asked about it yesterday. You guys heard it on the Zoom call where he said, hey, you know, if they're on the 53, that means we trust and believe and have faith that they're going to go out there and do the job. But let's be honest about it. That's all well and good, but that's also not reality. The kids make mistakes, and some of the kids aren't, frankly, ready to play at this level. But that's the route that they went, and that's why if anyone is shocked that this team is sitting here 3-10, well, I kind of feel like that's on you, if you are.
Do you think
that was the Baskin heavy side?
I know.
He knows it. What does Shador, and we talked about this too, what does Shador need to make the Browns believe they don't need to draft a quarterback in the first round next year?
Play the next 4 weeks like he just played against the Titans. Now, I'm not saying he's got to put up those numbers, 360-plus, account for 4 touchdowns. Right? I'm not saying that, but play that way. And what I mean is he...
Turn it loose and go for it?
Yeah, not only turn it loose and go for it, but the throws that he... Because I went back and I watched it again this morning. I watched it twice yesterday. Man, that was fun to watch him play quarterback. The interception was awful, and I will grant you that. It's really the only mistake he made in that game. The footwork needs some polishing. There's no question about that, but I think that's going to come with time. The 3 touchdown passes were just absolute beautiful dimes.
The pass to Judy was sweet,
thread the needle between 4 defenders on that. I mean, that was, and he hit him in stride, and Judy was it. Basically, that was the throw he should have made the week before that got Judy all angry and upset with him on the sideline.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So kudos to both of them for getting on the same page within a week and turning that mistake a week ago into 7 points this past game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I would rather them, honestly, where I'm at right now, because I think there's something with Shador. I'm not sitting here saying he's the franchise saver, he's the long-lost franchise quarterback we've been waiting for, but there's something with this kid.
Well, you want to see more, don't you?
Yeah.
I know I do.
Yeah, and you're devastated we're not seeing Gabriel right now. I can feel how disappointed
you are. Well, let's put it this way. If Dylan Gabriel was on that field, they would have lost the game like 31-6 if he would have played on Sunday. Okay, Shador came back from double-digit.
So you're saying they wouldn't have had offense with him, huh?
No.
I'm absolutely surprised by your take on that.
He's not an NFL quarterback. Don't know what to tell you.
He speaks highly of
what?
You.
Wow, that's a revelation. I've never heard you say anything like that before.
And by the way, Shador is showing you that with the way he's playing. He's doing this already. Right? I mean, just look at the progression from the first time he took the field against Baltimore versus what you saw against Tennessee. You saw no progression with Dylan Gabriel, okay? Now, you were able to say, hey, he's doing the same thing Dylan was with the checkdowns and not seeing the lanes down the field and all that. Well, he's starting to see some of those lanes. He's starting to build some of that trust with those receivers, and that's why yesterday when Mary Kay asked him right out of the gate, hey, are you ready to say Shador's going to start the rest of the season? And Kevin gave a one-word answer. He just said yes. And that's okay. Now, Kevin,
is it hard for him to say that? We were talking about this at the beginning of the show.
Here's the thing:
is it hard for Kevin to commit to the fact that Sanders is the guy he needs to start for the rest of the season?
I don't know why that needed to be a one-word answer. I don't know why Kevin couldn't have said yes.
Is it that he doesn't? So people misread that. They misread it as he hates him. He doesn't like him. Is that the truth, or is it he just doesn't want to give anybody credit for anything, especially a rookie?
I just don't think he wants to say anything.
Andy was leading everybody there.
I wasn't leading anybody anywhere. I'm just telling you what I thought. I think it's very difficult for Kevin to say anything about any player.
Yes.
Any player.
It's very hard for him to compliment anyone, and it's very
hard. Unless you're the punter, other than when you get the punts blocked.
Let me finish.
And Miles.
And it's also hard for him to criticize anyone.
Well, that's true.
I want to be fair about that.
Yeah, that's true.
This isn't like he really doesn't want to say anything about anyone, but he knows he has to do these media availabilities 3-4 times a week, so he's got to fill the time, but it's very difficult for him to single any player out either in a positive fashion or a negative fashion. That's just how he is.
That's like if I said, Daryl Ryder, you look like you need a shave right now. You would say, well, you know, it's not so much Daryl, it's his razor blades, but ultimately it's on me. you know, it's my fault that Daryl needs a shave.
Which, by the way, that's what Bubba needed to say last Thursday.
That he needs to shave?
About the special teams unit. Instead of saying the roster, he should have said, we're coaching it. I got to coach it better. I got to keep coaching it hard. And that's what he should have said instead of saying, well, the condition of the roster being what it is, that's what we have to work with. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He didn't take the Kevin Stefanski route with that, and it made him look bad, made the front office look bad.
But if you're living on borrowed time, does it matter anyway?
Yeah. Well, we're assuming he's living on borrowed time. Just because we think that's what's going to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen. Keep that in mind. Because I think that yes.
All three coordinators back next year then?
I don't know. I think Jim Schwartz should get consideration for a head coaching job. As much as I would hate to lose him here selfishly. And honestly, if they make a change here, he should totally be considered for this job if it opens up too. We're all like, I think that loss to the Titans was totally a fireable offense. And the way because Kevin has mismanaged a couple of games this year. And I think it's getting to a point where you've done all you can do here. But just because I think that and believe that and feel that, and that's nothing against, I love Kevin and respect him tremendously, but I just think that the time has come for, after 6 years, maybe someone else to come in here and do something. But there's no guarantee that's happening.
Daryl, that's a valid thought.
Yeah,
that's a valid thought. We've said this, you know, for a long time on the show. You don't survive a 3-win season followed by a 4, 5, or 6 win season,
or a 3, because I don't think they're winning another game. The only game I think they're going to win now, potentially, that I think they have a shot is Cincinnati in the season finale, depending on
who they start.
Well, no, depending on where the Bengals are at and if they even care about the game. You know what I mean?
They might start flat.
Yeah, but they always seem to care about the game when we play them at the end of the season. Yeah. We tend to not care.
Yeah, you know, I don't think they're beating the Bears. They're not going to beat the Bills. You can't speak in absolutes because that's why they play the games. It's highly unlikely they're going to beat the Bears. It's highly unlikely they're going to beat the Bears, or the Bills, I should say. And it's highly unlikely they're going to beat the Steelers, right? So the last game on the schedule is the Bengals, and while that is the one team in this division that this franchise, for some reason, actually looks like they belong on the same field with.
Can you look into your crystal ball here for a second for me? Look into that crystal ball. Who is the general? Is the general manager the same general manager as we have today? Season starts next year.
Yeah, I think so.
Head coach, look in that crystal ball. What do you see?
I think there's a chance that there's a different coach here next year.
And what about starting quarterback next year?
If I'm being prisoner of the moment right now, I would go into next year unless there's an opportunity out there this coming off season. Conditions being what they are, I'd rather use the first round picks on an offensive lineman and a wide receiver and still draft a quarterback somewhere. But I
have a young quarterback, Deshaun Watson under contract.
Give Shadur an opportunity, have Dylan be the backup. And then if, you know, everything goes, you know where, then Deshaun is there if you need him.
He's on the team next year.
He has to be on the team. Like, I don't know
money-wise, it just kills me.
I don't understand where some of this stuff comes from. Like, I don't know. I realize we all have content to fill and whatnot, but...
Or context to have.
No, I mean, there isn't a world in which Deshaun Watson is not on the roster next year. He has to be. Like...
So he retires?
No, I mean, he has to be on the roster because of salary cap management. He's going to be on the roster until March of 2027, barring another restructure. They put a dummy year for 2027. It's worth like $1.25 million or something like that, just so they could make him a post-June 1 cut in March of 2027 so that they can divide the cap hit over 27 and 28. You're not really rid with the Deshaun Watson problem, if you will, the accounting problem, until the 2028 cap year.
We have 15 seconds. If Deshaun's on the team next year, which I think he will be too, is it a competition at quarterback between Shadur and Deshaun?
I hope not.
Okay.
I hope it's just we're going to go in with Shadur. And again, that's assuming there's no opportunity pops up and they bring someone else in. I hope they go in with just Shadur, Dylan's your backup, and then Deshaun is the, if everything goes south and we need to put a third quarterback on the field for the third, fourth, fifth straight year, he's the guy.
Thank you, Daryl Ryder. We appreciate you. We're watching you on YouTube channel. And, of course, those brownie bites are killing it.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different.
Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Greatest show on turf, the man that was the leader. He's a super friend of the show. He's Mike Martz. He's going to join us in about 13 minutes. Daryl Ryder was in the house. Mary Kay Cabot was in the house as well. You can listen to both of those interviews on the Odyssey app. If you get a chance, you want to go back and listen to Radio Rewind, it's all there for you as well. So, Jeff, just as we go back and just kind of digress through the Mary Kay and Daryl Ryder interviews here, I think the one key that stands out between the two was Mary Kay Cabot saying she thought Andrew Barry's back next year without hesitation.
She did. And I think that goes, I think it's a weird spot, Andy, because I do think what have you done for me lately comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Because this last draft has been really good. I don't think the other drafts have been real good. And especially on the offensive side of the ball. Well, okay, that means you've dumped a rookie class on your head coach that we think is pretty good. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But not a whole lot from the last 5 years. And I know they traded picks away in the Deshaun deal. I know. So the coach is going to pay the price for all that? If that happens? And maybe it will. You know, maybe it won't. I don't know. But Daryl sitting here with us saying, you know, maybe there's a split here and they're not on the same page completely. And I could see the coach taking the hit and the GM not. I mean, honestly, how do you fire Andrew Barry after the draft class he just had?
I don't think you can. The only question I have is kind of, okay, Paul DePodesta's out, and maybe I'm just making a bigger deal out of it. Why didn't he say anything after he traded Flacco? I'm befuddled. I've been sitting here for months. That's the second time I've been befuddled today. I'm sitting here trying to figure it out, and I just...
All right,
why not? Right, why just hop out there and just talk?
Let me give you some reasons.
Okay, why?
I'll just throw out some things. I'm not saying this is it because I don't know. Hey, we're trading a 40-year-old quarterback we brought in for an insurance policy. Is that press conference worthy?
Why'd you bring him back in the first place then?
Because we thought he'd be our backup or third-string quarterback.
But you do realize that he is a guy, and I'm talking to you like you're him, you do realize you brought back a fan favorite that a lot of people didn't want to leave last year. Despite what he did in Indianapolis, no one cares about that. They wanted more when he was here, and they would have liked to have seen him the next season as well.
Well, we didn't bring him in to be the starter.
Okay, well, that's great. At least you answered the question. Why'd you trade him? Why is it so hard to say? Hey, look, we really wanted to take a good look at our young quarterbacks.
By not having to do a press conference or not doing one. He didn't say, hey, we're going with young guys this year and we're going to see what we have because we have two first-round picks next year and we're going to figure out if we need the draft quarterback.
He didn't have to say that. All he had to do was come out and say, we wanted to see what we have with the two quarterbacks.
You told me to be the guy. I was being the guy.
Well, I'm telling you.
Now you're telling me you don't like what I say?
Well, now you're the guy and at least I have an answer. There's no reason that idiots like us should be sitting here speculating why they did stuff when you could have a real answer. That's the problem is that when you don't talk about the situation that's going on, then everyone leads to speculation and everyone comes up with their answer and they believe it's the gospel. When the gospel can only truly come from the general manager in that situation, you save yourself a ton of headache. A ton.
Ton of headache. By speaking?
Yes.
Why does he have a headache? Because you wanted to hear from him.
It's not me. It's everyone else that's going to put words in his mouth. When you have
you mean
the opportunity.
Like I just did?
Yes.
Because you asked me to?
Yes.
He doesn't care. Nor should he.
True, you think?
He doesn't care what I think. He doesn't care what you think. He shouldn't care what the fans think. You know why? The minute you care what the fans think, you become a fan. You're sitting with them.
Yeah, I don't. He doesn't have to care.
He has a job to do.
But what you can do is control the narrative. He passed on the issue of controlling
the narrative. All he cares about is building the football team. I understand your thought, and I agree with your thought, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with your thought.
Okay, well, you're pacifying me.
But I'm just telling you, I'm playing devil's advocate here and telling you why he didn't feel a need to talk. Man, I traded a 40-year-old quarterback who we thought so highly of. We didn't bring him back. The year he was pretty good.
It's your reputation on the line. That's all.
What reputation?
Your reputation as
because
general manager.
Because you traded him?
All you had to do was come out and say, we let him go because we wanted to see what our young guys were. Boom, end of story. There's no drama.
Andy,
like, they let drama play out all the time.
I couldn't agree with you more, but you've asked me to play devil's advocate here.
I'm done. I don't like you as devil's advocate.
I agree with you.
El Diablo Phelps.
You know what? Here's the thing. When general managers make themselves available, when they become available, it's not a big deal. And that's a good thing. You know what I mean? Chris Antonetti does something. The Guardians do something. What happens? Chris, statement here. You need a press conference? Good, done. Here.
You need an interview? Come on over. Let's talk.
Come on. Let's do it. That's the way to do it. You know why? Because it's just like, okay, done. You control the narrative. As you just said, you put all the drama to rest.
But the storyline is over.
Except for one thing. I think the Guardians do it the right way.
I totally agree.
However, it's not the only way. And if you don't mind the drama and you don't mind what people are saying and you don't mind Doof sitting around asking, well, why didn't he talk? Then what difference does it make?
In some way, drama might be good for business, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely right.
I mean, who's talking about a 3-win team right now?
Us.
Who's talking nationwide? And
A lot of people are talking about the Browns.
I think it was Jody Mack over the weekend.
A lot of people.
I heard Jody Mack as I was driving around listening to Odyssey National
and
over the
Jody
weekend.
Show. I like Jody.
But even Jody's like, Jody, I think he said at one point, normally I wouldn't talk about a 3-win team, but the Browns are so intriguing.
And see?
3 wins, but Shador Sanders has the attention of the nation.
Boy, don't you know the Colts wish they had Joe Flacco right now? I mean, they're bringing in 44-year-old Philip Rivers.
They're a mess.
For a workout.
And they've put all their future picks up in the air, right?
Up in the air?
Well, I'm just saying, with Sauce
I think you've been traded to the Jets.
Yeah, traded.
For Sauce.
Yeah. Thank you for interpreting.
Who's hurt, by the way?
Yes. I'm so glad you speak Baskinese. Thank you.
That's what we're here for, man.
You're a good man.
That's what we're here for.
Mike Martz next, Baskin and Phelps.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.